So, today is Pentecost. How to unpack the message of Pentecost? Well, I could give you lots of theology, and we might have a bit of theology. I could give you a bit of church history, might touch a little bit of that. A bit of testimony, we might have some of that too. First of all, I thought I might show you this video. Now, who would like to do that zip wire? Come on, hands up. Yeah, absolutely. Well, yes, you can imagine. I'd love to do that. Okay, I've done a few zip wires in my time. Actually, I'm doing a few weeks' time, I'm going to do a parachute jump for the wave. So I like the old, you know, the old dangerous sports. The reason I showed you that, well, first of all, I wanted just to talk about experience. Because I could stand here and tell you that that was the longest zip wire in England, all right? So I could tell you how long it is and what the gradation is and how long it takes to go from one to the other. But there's nothing beat actually doing it, does there? And did you notice she started off, she got into this thing, and as she got into it, her arms went out. Did you notice that? And she let the gravity take her down. It was glorious, wasn't it? And actually, when I looked at that, I thought, Holy Spirit's like that. Holy Spirit's like that. You think, you know, you're not too sure what's going to happen. You get on, you know, you get on to something the Holy Spirit's going to take you. And suddenly, as the Holy Spirit takes you on, you just put your arms out and you start to fly. And I think that's, you know, it's just glorious. The experience is just glorious. And the other thing is, she's completely safe. She is completely safe. You know, you don't go on one of those things if you're going to drop off. And she's, you know, she's chained in and she's kind of, you know, she's got these belts and buckles and helmet and all the rest of it. But it's kind of got an edgy, risky feel to it. And the Christian life is like that. You're completely safe, but there's this kind of edgy, risky feel to it. And I just love it. But, you know, I could spend ages describing it to you. It's doing it that's what counts. It's a little bit like this. That's the D-Day landings. Now, you know, World War II and the D-Day landings had a profound effect on this country. If we'd lost, we would have been under German occupation. I'm very grateful that people made sacrifices for my freedom. We remember every November, of course. But for those who actually went through it, Harry Carter went through it. And I know, talking to him and others, when you go through that, you're never the same again. You know, it can be described to me. I can look at the photographs. I can listen to others. I can go and watch Saving Private Ryan. But going through it is quite another matter. You have to really experience it to know what it's about. And the Holy Spirit is like that. You have to experience him. In fact, my analogy with the D-Day landings in World War II breaks down because that's a historic event that affects my life now. But although Tim read to us the story of the first Pentecost, it's a historic event. But something happening 2,000 years ago doesn't really count like something happening to me day to day. And the Holy Spirit needs to impact my life day by day. Otherwise, it's just a story. It's just like learning a piece of history. But actually, what the Holy Spirit wants to do is impact my life day by day. So what I want to do this morning is I want to do the impossible. I want to do the whole Alpha weekend in about half an hour. Okay? Which will be fine. That'll be all right, won't it? Okay? Now, for those of you who don't know about Alpha, well, probably most of you do know about Alpha, the key pivotal moments of the Alpha course, what makes the Alpha course really special from any other kind of introduction Christianity course is the Holy Spirit Day or the Holy Spirit Weekend. Because that's the moment when we can encounter God in a powerful, powerful way. And we do, we go and look at who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, and how we can be filled with him. And my prayer is that all of us will go away from here different. We won't just find out something new or something we've not heard of before about the Holy Spirit. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But we will experience his power and be transformed by his presence. Because the aim of our church is to see the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, come in power by the transformation of our community. So what's that going to look like?
Now, look, it's, you know, there's lots of lovely things that we do and we're involved in as a church. You know, link visiting, fantastic. Beesom, fantastic. Coffee pot, great. Toddlers, fantastic. All these things are really great, okay? But you don't really need God to do any of those things. And actually, the kingdom of God is not going to come in power by transforming our community just by those things. That's kind of social work. It's really good, not knocking any of it. If the Holy Spirit is not there in power, it's powerless. So we're longing to see the kingdom of God come in power, and that happens when the Holy Spirit first impacts us. And then, just like the first apostles and the first disciples of the day of Pentecost, they're driven out on the streets and people start saying, what's going on here? Give me some of this. You know, people were so passionate for the Holy Spirit, you know, in the Acts of the Apostles. People actually gave money. They wanted to give money to get the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you believe that? It's extraordinary. It seems crazy, but that's what happened. People saw how powerful this was. And, you know, if you're still wondering what all the fuss is about, what this Holy Spirit business is all about, there's a wonderful psalm, wonderful verse in the psalm. It's this one. You know, this work? I'm going to read it to you if it doesn't come up. Yeah, brilliant. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who takes refuge in him. Sometimes we've got to taste. So let's dig into the Bible a little bit. And we learned the other week that the Holy Spirit was pivotal to Jesus' life. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, he was. But for the first 30 years of his life, he seemed to have a fairly ordinary upbringing. But then what happens is he goes along to be baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, and suddenly his life in the Spirit goes from sort of 0 to 60 in about 3 seconds, or probably I might say 0 to 60 in 40 days and 40 nights, because what happens is the Holy Spirit leads him out into the desert, he does spiritual warfare with the enemy, with the devil, and then he comes back to Nazareth in the power of the Spirit. And it's clear the Holy Spirit is on him in power because he actually says so, and the way he behaves, the way he acts demonstrates it. He stands up in the synagogue in Nazareth and he says this he quotes from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit is absolutely key to the ministry of Jesus. But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus had a much bigger plan. His plan wasn't just to be filled with the Holy Spirit and go and do stuff for about 3 years in the early years of the first millennium. Actually, the plan was he wanted to pour out the Holy Spirit on his followers, and that includes you and me. John the Baptist, this is, answered, I baptize you with water, but one who's more powerful than I will come, the straps of your sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. With fire. So, who's the Holy Spirit? Who's the Holy Spirit? He's God. He is God, the Holy Spirit of God. He's a person, not an it. It's really tempting when people talk about the Holy Spirit as an it. Please don't do it. You know, if I came up to you and I said, yeah, I talked to Matt and I talked to him as though he's kind of neuter and it, you know, it'd be kind of rude, wouldn't it? Please don't call the Holy Spirit it. It's kind of really confusing, all right? He has personality. He thinks and speaks and grieves and laughs and rejoices. Okay? He's got emotions. Most of all, he loves. He loves. Now here's an extraordinary thing. This is the Holy Spirit of God, sent by Jesus from the Father. And he comes and resides in each side, inside each one of us. And Jesus does that. He fills us with the Holy Spirit because he loves us. Just think about that. Just think about Jesus pouring out himself into you and me. Just how intimate that is. Isn't that extraordinary? He's sharing the most intimate part of himself with us, the most personal way. And he's doing that because he loves us desperately. Desperately. And, you know, like any friend, you know, he just comes alongside us. Encourage you. Supporter. The Greek word is parakletos. Parakletos. That means like an advocate who stands alongside you in court. Well, I tell you what else it means. It means like it's a word for a ship. If you had a little ship on the Mediterranean Sea, which was kind of in trouble, a big ship would come alongside and kind of come alongside the little ship and take that little ship into harbour. That was a parakletos. See, he's a kind of port in the storm. He's a friend in need, a person to stand alongside. And what does he do? What does he do? He brings new life. We know this very well, don't we? Know this passage. John chapter 3, theological heavyweight comes to talk to Jesus at night, Nicodemus, comes up with all these clever questions. Jesus completely floors him. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. What does that mean? Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and of spirit. Being born of water is like natural birth, okay? We need to be born, okay? Obviously, we need to be born of the Spirit. We need to be born of the Spirit. Jesus was the first person to use that expression, born again. We talk about born again Christians sometimes, don't we? Some people say, oh, don't like the idea of born again Christian. That's what Jesus, he uses the expression born again. He invented that expression, okay. And what he's saying, when you're born of the Holy Spirit, somehow that unlocks the Christian faith. It makes it real. It makes it live. It makes it concrete. All the stuff that you read about in the Bible doesn't make sense and is not real unless the Holy Spirit does it for us. Can you see? Can you see? He causes the gospel to impact our lives in the most extraordinary way. And he enables us to enter into a relationship with God which otherwise would be closed off to us. When I look at other religions, I see people trying to approach God, trying to please God, there's somebody impenetrable and untouchable and unattainable and scary. But it's not like that when the Holy Spirit comes alongside us. Even though we're approaching the God of the universe, he makes us sons and daughters of God. We experience an intimate relationship with the Father. Can you see that? It's wonderful. And he makes us more like Jesus. Look at this. I haven't got this down here. I'll read to you. Romans 8. Those are led by the Spirit of God, are children of God. The Spirit you received doesn't make you slaves, so you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you've received brought about your adoption to sonship, and we cry, Abba, Father. Okay? I don't know what your relationship with your father was like. Maybe it was good, maybe it was bad. Okay? But when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he creates a relationship with our Heavenly Father, which is quite extraordinary. Okay? It says the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We're God's children. Being a son or a daughter of God is the highest privilege any of us could possibly have. We experience an intimate relationship. Abba. It's a childish word for dad in Aramaic. You know, we can call the God of the universe my dad. Holy Spirit does that. Holy Spirit does that. And the Holy Spirit helps us to develop that communication in our prayer life, in the way we read the Bible, in the way we're able to hear his voice. You know, we've heard already words from the Lord this morning. They didn't come from the air. The Holy Spirit spoke into the lives of people around here for us. All that comes by the Holy Spirit. And then the other thing is, as we encounter the Holy Spirit, we start to become like Jesus. Here's the verse. We all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit comes in us and starts to transform us. Now, I'm really relieved. I spent the last few decades with the Holy Spirit making me a better person, okay? I didn't start off with very promising material, you know? I was super arrogant. I thought I knew it all. Some of you might think I still am like that, but trust me, you should have seen me 20 or 30 years ago. It was much worse, all right? And the Holy Spirit has, you know, you can watch him move in the lives of people. It's glorious. It's just glorious. Just like Paul says, I haven't attained that. I haven't been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus lay hold of me. That's what he says in Philippians, okay? I'm not going to be perfect, but my goodness, you should see where I started off. And he does it by kind of producing, just the fruit of his character in us, doesn't it? It's just wonderful. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Really famous passage, Galatians 5. And above all, love. That's the first one. Look, I've seen it this last week in St. Mary's. It's been amazing down at St. Mary's Church, praying together as God's people in Swanage. It's been remarkable. People who've never prayed together before have been praying. People who've never prayed in that building have been praying. And if what's been happening is that God has been drawing St. Mary's much more into the fellowship of churches and God's people. You know, they've always been the civic church, you know, the place in the middle of town. But I kind of, you can see God moving in the hearts of people down there. You can see God's moving. It's been extraordinary. What does Paul say? In him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit draws us together in an extraordinary way. And it's not finished yet. Please come along this afternoon. 3:00, be there, you know. It's going to be fantastic. And one more thing, especially think about this on Pentecost Sunday, okay? He empowers the people of God. He empowers the people of God. One of the last things that Jesus says to his disciples is this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth, including Swanage. Okay? The empowering of the Holy Spirit is extraordinary. We can't do the stuff that God wants us to do unless we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. It just is impossible, folks. Trust me, I have tried it. It does not work. Okay? It does not work. Okay? It's there's something we have to do, which is to step aside and let God do stuff through us. That works. That works. You can try and do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. It is exhausting. I've tried that too. Okay? And it doesn't work. The key thing is that he imparts spiritual gifts. Oops. He gives spiritual gifts. And they're for everyone. They're for all God's children. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 12? He says, to each one the Holy Spirit gives individually as he wills. To each one. Which kind of implies that if you're part of the church, if you're part of the body of Christ, he's got a spiritual gift for you and you and you and you. And I guess we know all of them. There is a long list of about sort of 24, 25. You go through all the lists, in particular the ones in 1 Corinthians 12, wisdom, knowledge, exceptional faith, healing, miracles, distinguishing between spirits, prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. In my experience, this is often where the rubber hits the road in churches. You know, this is where Christians divide. They're happy to hear about the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to experiencing the Holy Spirit in power, and in particular when it comes to experiencing his gifts, and especially the more controversial gifts. I don't understand why they're controversial, but they do. This is where people find this really challenging. But I want to talk about that in a little bit more in a moment, because we're going to have a little break. But before we do that, I'd like you to hear from a couple of different voices. And the first voice I'd like you to hear from is Tim. So Tim, would you like to come up? And Tim has just done Alpha. And I don't know what he's going to say, but he's going to tell you what the Holy Spirit's done in his life. So off you go, Tim.
Well, the remit I was given was to talk about Alpha. So is this okay?
Yeah.
I've just written down three amazing things to tell you about the Men's Alpha course. And the first one is that on the 8th of March, 15 men met in a pub to talk about God. That is amazing. It's the first time it's happened in all the years that I've been in Swanage. And my prayer is that we will get into the pubs and the clubs and talk about God, talk about Jesus. The second amazing thing is watching how Alpha transforms people's lives. And it's not necessarily people that weren't Christians. It's people that have been coming to church in some cases for years, and watching the change, their questions being answered, the new vision that they get, the new life that they get from doing Alpha. And the third thing, which was truly amazing to me, was the Holy Spirit Day, watching the Holy Spirit working in people's lives on the weekend of the 23rd and the 24th of April, because it was on the Saturday, but it carried on to the Sunday. I've been a Christian for 30 plus years, and I had never before witnessed some of the things that went on over that weekend. If you think that God's supernatural power only manifested itself in the early church, then you are very, very wrong. God is in the business of transforming people's lives right now through miracles and healings and in the mighty power of his Holy Spirit. God is alive and well. Hallelujah.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Thank you, Tim. Great. Great. Well, you need a break from me, so we're going to sing a song. Is that all right, mate? Good. So, we know who the Holy Spirit is. We're starting to find out what he does. And we know that he fills us. He is capable of filling us. He wants to fill us. So how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? How does the stuff that I read about in the book of Acts, how does that come true for me? Well, let's imagine it's your birthday. And I come round and I give you one of those. Chococo chocolates. Who loves Chococo chocolates? Lots of hands going up here. I love Chococo chocolates. They're like little miniature works of art, aren't they? They're just beautiful. If I were to bring you a box, though, I wouldn't just expect you to look at them and admire them and say, oh, look at the gold leaf on that. Look at the little piping on that. You know, I wouldn't expect you to do that, you know. I wouldn't expect you to look at the box and say, these are too good for me. You don't mean me to have them, do you? I'd expect you to eat them. That's what you're meant to do with them. Okay? And, you know, so often I've noticed people do that with the Holy Spirit. You know? They're given the opportunity to receive from the Holy Spirit. And they say, not for me. A bit too rich for me. You know? I'm not that kind of person. Okay? Or they say, I'm not good enough. It's too classy for me. It's only for special people. Or they say, well, you know, I want that chocolate second from the left, you know, third way, you know, but I don't want the one on the right, you know. I'm going to pick out the ones I want. Whereas actually, you know, I want you to have them, I'm not saying have them all, but, you know, I've chosen them for you. God chooses spiritual gifts, and he wants us to embrace the gifts he has for us. He wants us to be filled with his power, and he doesn't want us to say, It's a bit too emotional for me, because actually emotion's got nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, by the way. This is a spiritual thing. It's not an act of the emotions. It's the Holy Spirit coming on us. Okay? It's not for super Christians. It's for everybody here. And there aren't, certainly the Holy Spirit gives to each one gifts, each individually as he wills. Okay? But he doesn't say, you're entitled to one because you're sitting on the front row, you know. You're a licensed lay minister. You're a youth minister. You're allowed. But, you know, you people at the back row, no. Farmers, no. Farmers not in it, you know. Definitely not, you know. So I just happened to see a couple of farmers sitting in the back there. They're out of it, you know. Definitely not. That isn't the way it works, okay? The Holy Spirit has got far more to give us than we ever receive. And I've seen people again and again and again shut themselves off from his mighty power. And sometimes they're scared, and sometimes they think they're not good enough, and sometimes they're just uncertain. It's just extraordinary. Look, right throughout history, human history, every move of God has been accomplished by the Holy Spirit. And from time to time, there's been resistance. And actually, people have come up with theological reasons as to why the Holy Spirit can't possibly be working in this particular way now, even though the Bible says that he does. Okay? The Holy Spirit's been happening from the very beginning of creation. The Holy Spirit moves across the face of the waters. Right throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on people for particular reasons, for leadership and prophecy and strength and all that stuff. We read about all the stuff, you know, Isaiah and King David and Jeremiah and Gideon and Samson, all these people, okay? But what God says is he says there's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit's going to come across upon all my people. Not just a few special people, but everybody. What does he say? Can we have the next slide, please? I can make it work. Look, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's what God says in Ezekiel 36. So it's no longer such a struggle, because the Holy Spirit's living within us. You see? Afterwards, Joel chapter 2, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Not just a few special people, not just Isaiah and Jeremiah. Your old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. We've got both of those here today. Even on my servants, men and women, we've got lots of those both here today. I'll pour out my spirit in those days. Can you see how what happens when the Holy Spirit comes and he's talking about what happens from the day of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit is no longer the preserve of a few special people who get the chocolates. Everybody gets to eat. Everybody gets to taste. You see? Everyone. I'll baptize you with water, but one who's more powerful than I will come. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the Greek word for baptize means to drench or overwhelm. It's like, you know, when you're doing the washing up, you're baptizing the washing up, or when you're washing clothes in the old-fashioned way, or sticking in the washing machine, that's what it means. It doesn't mean sprinkle. My old vicar used to say, we're not gardeners, you know, not sprinkling. It means completely drenching. It means getting totally soaked. That's why I like immersion baptism, actually, because it shows you what God wants to do. See? It's like, and we get to the end of Jesus' time on earth, and it's like there's a sense of expectation. It's like you're shaking a bottle of champagne, and suddenly the cork comes off, okay? And, you know, it goes everywhere, okay? And it's not just special people in Acts 2. It's everybody who's following Jesus. Not just the 12 apostles, okay? It's everyone who was following him. And they spill out on the streets of Jerusalem, and people are amazed. And Peter says, look, that stuff that you read about in Joel and Ezekiel, that's what's happening here. That's what's happening here. And he says this, look, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. That's us. That's us. The promise is for us. And you might say, well, actually, I've been a Christian for years. you know, this Holy Spirit stuff, I mean, you know, I understand it, of course, but, you know, I've got on fine up to now. Look, the Lord has more for you. The Lord has more for you. Look, he doesn't want you to live your lives in ways which don't achieve his purposes for you. And the only way he's going to do that is to drench you with the Holy Spirit daily. 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 What happened on the first day of Pentecost can be true for us. Can be true for us today. And, you know, I probably don't need to say any more than that, really. Because what he wants us to do is to respond. He wants us to respond. Let me just read the word that Veronica gave. Again. Are you willing to change? To do things my way? For my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher. Let me lead you. Let me direct your paths. And see that together we can do great and mighty things for the lost of Britain. Do you want to do great and mighty things for the lost of Britain? If you do, you need his Holy Spirit. We can't do the job on our own. Sheila, where's Sheila? Sheila? Sheila, come up. Now this is Sheila. One of my most favourite people. Yes, you are. Now, tell us what God did for you. No, go on.
It's scary, actually.
I know. But just tell them anyway.
Well, I've just done an alpha. Well, I'm in the process of doing alpha. I did one 20 years ago. And when this one was coming up, I said to Brian, I really need to do this time. So I've been coming along, but I said, I'm not going to the Holy Spirit Day. Because I don't like to see people crying and falling about. Anyway, if the cat fits, when it came to the Holy Spirit Day, I did. As it got closer, I knew I'd got to come. So I came, and it was a brilliant day. And in the afternoon, it was Paul was amazing.
Paul Shepherd's amazing. Yeah.
He kept us occupied all day, really listening to him. And in the afternoon, I sat a couple of three rows back, and he started to pray for us. He was telling us all about the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm going to start to pray now. And he said, when I finish praying, I want you to come out. And as he started to pray, I couldn't breathe. Everything in my body was shaking and trembling. I was in a shocking state, and I couldn't wait to get up here. And that's it. I've been a different person ever since. But Alpha is good, and one of the best things of Alpha is when you get here on a Thursday evening, there's lots of tea and coffee, and scrummy puddings, cream and ice cream.
Fantastic, thank you. Fantastic. Look, I don't think I need to say any more, really, except to say this. Look, there are all sorts of reasons why people say no to the Holy Spirit. One is doubt. Jesus says, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Everyone who asks, receives. Okay. Another one is fear. What's God going to do? She just said that. She was fearful. Okay, but by the grace of God, she made it here, and God moved in our life, you know. And Jesus says, look, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a stone, or asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion, you know. He's not going to do that. If we ask for good gifts, then the Holy Spirit, our Father in heaven will give us the Holy Spirit. So don't be fearful, don't doubt, and don't feel that we're not worthy. We are Jesus, brothers and sisters. We're the Father's sons and daughters. The God of the universe came here in the person of Jesus to save you and me. That is how valuable you are. That's how valuable you are. So don't say, I'm not worthy. You know? Don't say you're not worthy. There's a phrase used sometimes in Anglican liturgy which says, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. Okay? Well, Jesus says the word. Jesus says the word. So you are worthy. You are worthy. Not because of anything you've done, but because of everything that Jesus has done. Do you see? Do you see? So, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him.